Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Hey there, it's Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in right here on this station each week, or by subscribing to the podcast, or by listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. Big show for you this week. Sam Solholt will talk public land access, what you can do right now, and why you should be contacting your representative, your state representative. He has got details on how you can help public land and access for people like you and I that spend time in the outdoors. More land access, more places to go hunt, more places to go recreate outdoors. We're going to talk to Sam about what he's doing, why he's passionate about it, and what you can do to help as well. We'll also talk about spring fishing on the Rainy River, and also if you still want to go snowmobiling, there are some places to do that. We've got those details with Joe Henry coming up later in the show. And Doug Lear will talk about big game hunting dates in North Dakota here in just a little bit. Now, this week's show is brought to you by the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic going on this weekend at Canterbury Park, their new location. Go to mndeerclassic.com for more details. Also this weekend is the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation, their annual banquet and fundraiser. I'm going to be at both of these events, or I was at both of these events this weekend. Saturday, I will be at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka at the Tazen Lake Lodge booth. Stop by and say hi. Ryan Callahan is speaking tonight at the banquet. That's pretty cool. Tazen Lake Lodge is also a sponsor of the show, of course, offering trophy lake trout and northern pike fishing in northwest Saskatchewan. It's an unbelievable place. You owe it to yourself to check it out. Go to TazenLake.com for more details. Show is brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. They still are chasing perch around and walleyes and snow bears. They still have pretty good ice, but they're starting to look forward to open water fishing as well. Plan a summer trip to Devil's Lake, or maybe try to get in on the tail end of ice fishing. Go to HayBaleHeights.com. And of course, brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Go to LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com to plan your trip to Lake of the Woods. Tip-ups for Northern Pike right now. Snowmobile trails, they just shared on their website the Prairie Sportsman episode that we filmed up there, snowmobiling up to the northwest angle. It was really cool. Go to LakeOfTheWoodsMN.com to watch it again, or get up there and do some snowmobiling. There's still some snow up there. Or still quite a bit of ice, too. You can do some ice fishing. Prairie Sportsman, of course, will be back here soon. Next Sunday night, I believe, we return to Pioneer PBS. Otherwise, you can watch episodes of Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations all over the state. PrairieSportsman.org has more details. We just did a bunch of filming up in Minnesota's Arrowhead region. Man, just had a great time snowmobiling up there, ice fishing, dog sledding. We did so many cool things, and we'll bring them to you on this season's episodes of Prairie Sportsman. Also brought to you by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided snow goose hunting. And we got the spread set. We got clients in the field as we speak. We're guiding for snows right now. Go to midmigrationoutfitters.com. I'll jump into the spread. You can come out and hunt with me starting March 21st. Time now for What's New, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman, the Emmy Award-winning show based on Pioneer PBS. Find out where you can watch the show at prairiesportsman.org, or watch the episodes now at prairiesportsman.org on YouTube or on our Facebook or Instagram. Well, for the ninth year in a row, Minnesota's moose population remains relatively stable, but reproductive success, one of the factors that has the greatest impact on moose survival over time, remains low. This winter, the DNR estimated the moose population to be 3,150 animals, which is between a range of 2,400 and 4,320. So basically, they say, well, there's between 2,400 moose and 4,300 moose, so we're going to estimate the population to be about 3,100, which is very similar to what they estimated last year. So they're saying the population of moose is remained stable. As a part of statewide deer management plan, the DNR began local open house meetings as a way to encourage conversations about deer and deer management, enhance local relationships, and foster two-way communication between the DNR and the public. So the public said, look, DNR, we want to have more input on how you manage deer. And the DNR said, okay, we're going to have some meetings. Come out and see us. Well, so far they've been having those meetings, and they're not getting many people to show up. Two people showed up to some of those meetings. Seven people showed up to some of those meetings. So if you want to have a dialogue with the DNR about deer management, there's a whole suite of meetings coming next week around the state. I have the list. It's linked on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page, or if you go to the Minnesota DNR page, you'll see a link to it right on the homepage of the DNR's website. But that's those meetings are happening next week. So if you want to talk to the DNR about deer management, they're inviting you to come have a dialogue with them. In Wisconsin, starting March 16th, spring turkey bonus harvest authorizations go on sale for each of the 7 spring turkey hunting zones. So if you want a bonus tag for turkeys, you can check out the DNR Turkey Zone map and the spring turkey bonus harvest authorization availability. I like how they have to be so official in their titles. Bonus harvest authorization availability. So you can see what tags are available for what time period and which turkey zone you want to hunt. Go to the Wisconsin DNR page for more. Now it's time to talk to our old radio pal, Doug Lear, brought to you by Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, haybaleheights.com.
The 2020 North Dakota special big game seasons have been set. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Elk, moose, and bighorn sheep applications are available online at the Game and Fish Department's website, gf.nd.gov. The deadline to apply is March 25th. A total of 523 elk licenses are available to hunters this fall, an increase of 45 from last year. A total of 474 moose licenses are available, 5 fewer than last year. Hunting units M1C and M4 remain closed due to a continued downward trend in moose numbers in the northeastern part of the state. As stated in the new chronic wasting disease proclamation, hunters harvesting an elk in units E2 or E6 or a moose in units M10 or M11 cannot transport the whole carcass, including the head and spinal column, outside of the unit. A bighorn sheep hunting season is tentatively scheduled to open in 2020, depending on the sheep population. The status of the bighorn sheep season will be determined September 1st after summer population surveys are completed. Bighorn sheep applicants must apply for a license at the same time as moose and elk, but not for a specific unit. Once total licenses are determined for each unit in late summer, the Bighorn Lottery will be held and successful applicants contacted to select a hunting unit. Because a bighorn sheep application fee is not refundable per state law, if a bighorn season is not held, applicants would not receive a refund. Elk, moose, and bighorn sheep lottery licenses are issued as once-in-a-lifetime licenses in North Dakota. Hunters who have received a license through the lottery in the past are not eligible to apply for that species again. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are, and there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Ryan Kelly, Callahan, the conservation director at Meat Eater, and Laramie Sasquatch Miller from the Last of the Breed TV show. This year features a raffle for a stone sheep hunt, plus live music from national recording artist Shane Claus both nights. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Hi, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network, on demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast. New affiliate coming soon here in a couple of weeks. More details on the way. We'll have 30 stations that you can listen to around the region here for Sporting Journal Radio. And right now we're going to go up to the area where people listen to us on WDAY, AM 970. Sam Soholt joins us right now here on the radio show. Sam, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
You're up in the Fargo area right now. I know we've talked a number of times. I've wanted to have you on the show for a while. I'm glad we were finally able to get it done. Where, you know, if you're maybe you're like me, we're kind of in between shows right now, because I know last time I saw you was at Pheasant Fest, right?
Yep, it was. And it's this time of year, you know, you just kind of bounce around all over the country to different stuff. And even though it's quote unquote the off season for the hunting world, you're still busy as ever.
Right. Absolutely. How much? I mean, you travel. I like to tell people I travel a lot. You travel. You probably travel more than I do. How many shows have you done this year?
You know, this year I actually scaled way back, which was nice. But previous to this year, you know, I was like in the winter, I was doing, you know, four or five shows, and then all summer, you know, doing all of the Total Archery Challenges and the Minnesota Game Fair. And I think last year did five or six events last summer, as well as four or five trade shows and sports shows over the course of the winter. So that was too much. I decided that this year I would scale back in the winter, because this summer is going to be real busy.
Game Fair is a fun one, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's a blast. And we'll be back there with the bus and everything. But yeah, excited to go back, and we had a great time last year. It's first time there.
I think that's where I met you, actually, was at Game Fair last year. And that's always been one of my favorite shows, but primarily I think because it's outdoors and you get to bring your dog. I mean,
right.
It doesn't get any better, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, I want to let our listeners know, I'm sure most of them have heard your name, but for anybody out there, let's give them a little refresher on who you are and what you're doing right now, because you're out there crusading for our public lands, aren't you, Sam?
Exactly. Yeah. So, for anybody listening that doesn't know who I am, over the last, I guess, 3.5 years, I kind of set out on a mission to raise awareness about public land issues, access issues, what's happening in the legislature in regards to public lands, as well as educating people on how they can get involved and make a difference in both conservation and protecting wild and free places.
Which is definitely a noble cause. And it's something I think that a lot of people have realized just how important that is in the world that we're living in right now.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I kind of went about it in a fairly unusual way, you know, rather than starting a podcast or, you know, doing speaking gigs or whatever. I bought an old 1993 Bluebird school bus.
That's so awesome.
And turned it into my rolling hunting shack / 36-foot billboard for public lands. And it's kind of become a little bit of an icon in the world of public lands. And anytime anybody sees the bus, they know that it's related to that, which has become kind of cool.
Yeah. So do people call you the bus guy, or, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I am definitely known as the bus guy at this point, which isn't bad. You know, there's worse handles than that.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about the bus, and I want to talk about how you got interested in this cause, but let's talk about public lands for just a minute, because I've had a number of conversations lately with different people, from conservationists, from, you know, other media guys, to just guys that are passionate about hunting and doing things. And the discussion always comes up, how do we reverse declining license sales, and how do we get more people interested in hunting? You know, I was at the DNR roundtable this year, and so much emphasis was put on recruitment. And I appreciate the emphasis and the efforts put into recruitment, and I think that's very important. But I'm finding that land access, excuse me, access and giving people places to go and letting them know that, yeah, that see that grove over there and all that grass? Yeah, you can go walk that. You can go hunt that. Telling people and creating more areas like that, creating access can actually be more beneficial in creating more hunters. What do you think?
No, I would completely agree. And, you know, I've had big conversations with, you know, some of the like guys like Randy Newberg and the Hunting Public and, you know, other people within the space. And if you look at the numbers, and while recruitment is incredibly important in getting the younger generation into hunting, there's over 600,000 people a year that take hunter safety. And so we have a large number of people that are starting down that road. But like you said, one of the biggest barriers to entry for people really on the retention side is places to go hunt, you know? So once people get past that point where you're going with a mentor or going with your dad or going with your uncle, whoever whoever's taking you hunting in the first place, once you get past that and you're trying to figure out where to go hunt on your own without places, you know, without easily accessible places for people to go, I think in those first 5 years, a lot of people lose interest and they just don't want to spend the time traveling, you know, to, you know, a different state or wherever it may be just to go hunt. And so I think, yeah, just not only keeping the places open that are currently open, but increasing the amount of access so there's places for people to go is even more important.
And you've done a few things to help that process along as far as maybe even creating some new land. I don't think people always realize, I like to call our federal duck stamp program like the best government program we have in the United States. Like it's the best for your money. It's the most efficient. It does the most good. I think that the duck stamp is just an amazing piece of, when you talk about federal government programs and your money at work, I think it's one of the best ones out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And for anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, so the federal duck stamp is a required habitat stamp that everybody that waterfowl hunts has to purchase. And it's $25, but by law, 98% of that money has to be funded directly back or funneled directly back into increasing habitat, purchasing more habitat. It goes to the National Wildlife Refuge System. It's the only reason we have a refuge system. But basically, like, not only does it help migratory bird species, but 700 other species that fall, you know, basically into that category that are helped by more wetlands. So, it's an amazing program that the government started, back in 1934. And I'm assuming you wanted me to talk about the Stamp It Forward project.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So in 2019, we launched the Stamp It Forward project back in October, and the entire goal was to collectively see how many duck stamps we could purchase and educating people on where all of that money goes. And so I had people send me money directly. I got companies involved. My company, Public Land Tees, we actually bought the initial 100 stamps to kind of kick it off. But through the course of the fall, we raised, with our investment and others' investments, we raised $25,000 and bought just over 1,000 duck stamps. Wow. Throughout the course of the fall. So
that's amazing. That's great, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Super proud of that and really hoping to ramp that up going into 2020. And the goal right now is to make it 10 times larger than it was last year.
Wow. Well, that'd be huge. Well, I want to talk about Public Land Tees, of course, too. And we're going to do that here in just a couple of minutes.
Sure.
But I always, when you just one more thing on the federal duck stamp, because I feel like some people try to skip out or like when the price went up to $25 from 15 and a half or whatever it was, I think, you know, sometimes people are like, oh man, they're just nickel and diming us. And, you know, and people complain about license fees and stamps and this and that. And I understand it can add up, especially if, you know, guys like you and me that probably buy licenses in multiple states, it can definitely add up with non-resident license fees and things like that. But I mean, that money is going towards management and habitat. So the exact thing that you want to put money into, if you like the outdoors, is exactly where those dollars are going. People shouldn't complain about that.
Right. No, exactly. And, you know, I try to use like, just like the comparison between like hunting licenses, you know, whether you're a resident or non-resident, you know, it's obviously more expensive as a non-resident, but I try to make the comparison between like buying a hunting license or buying a fishing license or a duck stamp in comparison to, say, buying a concert ticket. So, I mean, the concert ticket prices have gone through the roof. You know, if you're looking at going to a good show, you're looking at, you know, $75 to $100 for even a decent ticket. Now that's for 3 hours of entertainment.
That's right.
If you look at a hunting season, a lot of times you get to hunt for 90 days.
Yeah.
And, you know, in state, you know, a lot of times your licenses are under $50. And how many hours of entertainment are you getting? And that money is literally an investment in your future of hunting or fishing. So I think people just need to reframe it in their mind a little bit. And it's not the government trying to take more money from you.
Right.
It's just trying to manage it so you have more quality experience in the field.
And if you want to get beer spilled on you, I'm sure we could find a way to do that.
Concert. I'll come out and sell you $11 pretzels and $24 beers every time.
Yeah. Not only will you pay for your hunting license with one concert ticket, but that second concert ticket or the beers that you buy there would pay for your hunting license for the next couple years.
That's right.
Lifetime license, pretty much. All right. Sam Soholt, our guest here, Sporting Journal Radio. We got to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about public land tees and other ways that you can support Sam's mission to help maintain and create more public lands and public land awareness and access to hunting lands and everything that he's doing out there. All coming up. Plus, we'll get a Rainy River report from Joe Henry. We'll talk tip-up fishing, still good ice and snow up in northern Minnesota. More details on that coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Ryan Callahan, the conservation director at Meat Eater, and Laramie Sasquatch Miller from The Last of the Breed TV show. This year features a raffle for a stone sheep hunt, plus live music from national recording artist Shane Klaus both nights. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan. The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's HayBaleHeights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for listening across the network on this radio station right here each week, or by streaming on demand at Sporting Journal Radio, or by downloading the podcast on iHeartRadio, iTunes, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Our guest, Sam Soholt, right now here on the radio show, Public Land Tees, the bus guy. Joining us here on the radio show. Let's talk about that bus real quick. I got a chance to walk in and check that bus out. When you tell people that you basically live out of an old school bus, and I have seen a few different school buses converted into, say, campers or, you know, outfitted with some sort of living quarters, hunting rigs, whatever. Yours is pretty nice, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I spent a lot of hours in it when I was building it.
I bet.
Yeah, that was a busy summer. It's a 1993 Bluebird. I bought it in Colorado. Basically 20,000 miles before I bought it, the school district had done a complete rebuild on the motor and tranny. So I was getting basically a brand new like drivetrain with a little bit older body sitting on top of it. And yeah, my brother and I ripped all the seats out. And then I actually drove it back to South Dakota to do the build in the summer of 2017. And every day for 12 to 18 hours a day, I was out there basically converting it into kind of my own little hunting lodge. And so a lot of it is, you know, pine and old tin. And like I did my own epoxy countertops made from I epoxied old barn wood off of a 100-year-old granary. But yeah, basically built it into a little rolling hunting lodge and then have been traveling in it and hunting out of it ever since.
How are you using that bus to bring awareness to public lands?
Back in the fall of 16 is really what kind of pushed me over the edge to buy the bus. And with all of the legislation that was potentially coming down the pipeline to get rid of a lot of our public land, I just, as a sportsman and an outdoorsman, I just felt like I needed to do my part to speak up against that. And I thought, what better way than a 36-foot rolling billboard to do that and tie the land, tie the message of supporting public lands to the whole bus project. So it's labeled the public land bus, and I have been traveling and documenting my experiences on our nation's public lands and putting that out there for people to see, as well as educating people about how to get involved.
How can people get involved right now? What can they do?
Yeah. So people listening right now, we have if you're not aware, we have a major bill in the legislation right now. So if you want to take the first step towards actually making a difference, call your senators. And right now, Senate Bill 3422, and it's earmarking, it's fully funding the Land and Water Conservation Fund for the next 5 years, as well as almost $2 billion a year to address backlogs in the national park system. For management stuff. So if you want to get involved, the easiest way is to email or call your state senators or your U.S. representatives in your state and just tell them to vote in favor of conservation and supporting public lands.
People hear that all the time. Contact your representative all the time. Sometimes that's a tough step for people.
It is. Yeah. And to be completely honest, when I first got into this, it seemed daunting. You know, it's you know, like call this elected official and you're never like almost never going to actually talk to the elected official. But you can literally Google like U.S. Senate phone number and call that number and it takes you to a switchboard. And then you can, you know, say, I want to talk to the senator from I'm in North Dakota. So I want to talk to Senator John Hoeven or whoever, whoever I'd like to speak to, and you just leave a message for them regarding whatever bill is currently happening and just voice your support. If you don't want to actually make a phone call, it is very simple to send an email to your state senators.
Sam Soholder, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. Public land tees is another way that people can also help support public lands in the country.
At the same time that I launched the bus project, my brother and I started Public Land Tees as a way to not only help put a little diesel in the bus and keep the message going, but $5 from every single item we sell on our website goes directly back to different conservation organizations, as well as pushing money towards these access projects and everything. So last year we did a couple cool things. You know, we gave $5,000 to the Rocky Mount Elk Foundation as direct support to opening up 26,000 acres of public land that was previously like almost impossible to access. I was actually able to go elk hunt on that land last fall, and it's one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. But we funnel a lot of our revenue right back into the places that we want to protect.
Talk about some of the other organizations you work with.
Sure. Yeah. So we donate money to, like I said before, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Delta Waterfowl, Pheasants Forever. We've acute Quality Deer Management Association, obviously the Duck Stamp Project. So spent a lot of money with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And we are looking to work with more and more organizations as we grow.
And then there was something in there when you bought shirts, you'll actually send them a stamp. Was that part of your Stamp It Forward program?
Yeah. So as a way to kind of generate an additional fundraiser, So we bought, you know, as we were buying stamps, then we launched every time somebody would buy something from our website, we were giving people a duck stamp.
Gotcha.
And so, you know, and then through those sales, we raised an additional almost $5,000 on top of that to funnel back towards other access projects.
Cool shirts. It's obviously a good cause. So go buy some at publiclandtees.com. What do you got coming up here in the future? What projects are you looking to maybe help out, or what do you think you got planned that people can be a part of?
Sure. Yeah. So we, kind of the next big project on our radars, we bought a Chevy Express van and converted it to four-wheel drive. And that's kind of the new public land van instead of the bus, a little bit more mobile. But we'll be basically same message, just different vehicle, going to be traveling around and spending more and more time on public land and documenting it, and just really kind of trying to educate people about how they can help and how they can get involved.
Probably a little more economical at the gas pump.
Yes,
too.
Much, much more economical. And, you know, if there is a muddy road, we can actually drive down it instead of, yeah. Anytime I was in the bus, it was always, you know, one snowstorm away from disaster. So,
oh, I bet. Yeah. I've driven across North Dakota and Montana and South Dakota for that matter in blizzards. It's not fun all the time.
No, it's definitely not.
For sure. All right. Well, Sam, we got about a minute left here. If somebody listening right now is like, you know, I know we've kind of covered it, but if you had one last pitch, you're going to tell people why they should care about public lands. Give us, what would you tell them right now, I guess?
You know, I think public lands is really the backbone of the soul of our country. It's the last piece of exploration that we have as a country. And I think that those places need to be protected at all costs.
What do you think about, I mean, we definitely don't have enough time to get into this, but what do you think about like the non-consumptive users using some of these public lands and not, I mean, trying to find a funding source for them to help pay for them?
Yeah. So this, I'll go real short. I think it's time that we reintroduce the backpack tax. And if you're unfamiliar with that, on the hunting side, we have both the Pittman-Robertson and the Dingell-Johnson Act, which is an 11% excise tax on all basically guns, ammo, archery equipment, fishing gear, and all of that is funneled into conservation projects. Now, on the general recreation side of things, they don't have anything like that. So it's a simplified, it's called the backpack tax. But I think it's time that we figure out something along those lines where all of these companies that are generating revenue off people that camp and hike and bike and all of that thing, I'd like to see them step up and bring legislation to the table that would allow those companies to give back the same or more money than we do.
And that was tried once before, right?
It was, yeah. And then a little known fact is the Outdoor Industry Association was actually formed to fight against the backpack tax. Mm. And so I think it's, you know, I think it's time that we get that passed.
Well, if people are going to be using it, I think they should probably help and pay their fair
right.
share. Very good. Public lands. Yep. Great, great thing. I spent a lot of time on public lands here in Minnesota, and it's always a fight. It seems like when you try to create more or people worry about, how some of the status of some of the public lands, I guess, maintaining some of the habitat. It's always a challenge. It's always tough. So keep up the good fight. Sam Soholt, I appreciate the time here on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Help support conservation efforts Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Midwest Chapter of the Wild Sheep Foundation's annual banquet and fundraiser. This year's event features speaking seminars from Ryan Callahan, the conservation director at Meat Eater, and Laramie Sasquatch Miller from The Last of the Breed TV show. This year features a raffle for a stone sheep hunt, plus live music from national recording artist Shane Claus both nights. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at the Minneapolis Marriott Southwest in Minnetonka. Learn more at MidwestWildSheep.com. That's MidwestWildSheep.com.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. World-class fishing in a scenic, remote Saskatchewan location can be found at Tazon Lake Lodge. With lake trout catches nearing world record sizes, including a 47-inch by 35-inch giant estimated to be around 70 pounds. See the picture now at TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge will also put you on giant pike, and you can learn more about getting there at the Tazon Lake Lodge booth at the Northwest Sports Show in Minneapolis, April 2nd through the 5th, or go to TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner with Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, we're back. Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Soon to be 30 affiliates coming up here in a couple of weeks. More details on that coming up on Sporting Journal Radio. Now we're going to head up and check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, it's getting a little brown down here in west central Minnesota, southwestern Minnesota. How are things looking up in northern Minnesota?
Well, you know what? If they're getting a little dirty down there, slide on my north, because we got lots of ice, we got lots of white, and everything is still winter, and ice fishing's still 100% game on.
Really? Oh, man, yep. That's great. You guys it got quite good. A bit more snow and ice than we did, I think, though.
Yeah, you know, we got some snow. You know, we didn't get the snow that, like, that belt south of us from about north of Brainerd through Red Lake got. You know, on that ice, and that caused ice conditions to be a little bit sketchy this year. But, you know, we didn't get that snow, so our ice conditions are really good. We got, you know, anywhere from 30 to 36 inches of good ice, and, you know, ice fishing is still full bore. You know, our ice roads go way out. You know, our temperatures at night are getting into, gosh, the low teens in some cases, and, you know, it's locking everything up still. So, you know, ice fishing is still good to go. I saw a resort kind of advertised, hey, you know, we moved some of our houses closer. Some of those walleyes are starting to set up for that pre-spawn in shallower water. And I know there's some people still fishing the deeper stuff. And, you know, those walleyes are in different places. But this is a time of the year when the movement of walleyes, you know, they start setting up for that spawning. And oftentimes what will happen is that means a good number of walleyes anyway will start making their way towards that south shore, because they're going to spawn in the Rainy River or in the Bostic Bay area or whatever the case might be. But so this is kind of traditional. And hey, there's still houses that are, you know, 18 miles out that are catching a lot of fish too. And there's different groups of walleyes. Walleyes spawn in different areas. You know, Brett, everybody thinks that, well, I shouldn't say everybody. A lot of people think that really those walleyes spawn in the Rainy River. And there's a nice percentage of walleyes that really do spawn in the Rainy River. That's very key for that south shore and such. But, you know, there's a lot of walleyes too with 65,000 miles of shoreline, right, on Lake of the Woods. There are lots and lots and lots of spawning areas. And that's really key, because if something would ever happen to the Rainy River where they'd lay eggs and we get a cold blast of water to kill the eggs, you know, we got lots of other spawning areas to pick up the slack.
Well, walleyes are what people, of course, go up there for, and spring fishing, you know, on the Rainy River for walleyes is can be the best in the world. But a lot of people are focused on northern pike right now.
This is a time, I mean, I think March is a time at Lake of the Woods that the pike get more attention than ever. And we've had people fishing pike actually since February. In fact, there's some people that fish them all year long. And but now really is when the droves come out for pike. And, you know, fishing them with tip-ups, you know, putting a tip-up out in the shallow water. And I say shallow water could be anywhere from 5 to probably 12, 15 feet of water, depending upon where you're at. But, you know, putting a tip up down with either a big live sucker or a big smelt or a, you know, a Cisco, or which is like a tulipy, Putting those down on a quick strike rig. And for folks that don't know, you know, a quick strike rig is a piece of strong leader material that Y's off at the bottom, and there's a treble on each part of that Y. One treble you'd hook just behind the head, the other treble you'd hook just behind the tail of a minnow, or just in front of the tail of a minnow, and that'll hold that bait horizontally in the water column. And it makes it nice because when you get a bite with a pike, when that flag goes off, you can set that hook right away and not have to do the guessing game. And also it helps for the mortality of the pike because they don't swallow the baits as much.
And you can tip those things with suckers, hot dogs, all kinds of stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny because, yeah, we talk about the live suckers and the different kind of dead baits and things. But, you know, some people use hot dogs. And I was talking to one guy who really, really believes in using hot dogs. He says, Joe, the cheaper, the better. The fattier, greaser, cheaper, the better. Great value dogs. That's one of my favorite, he said.
That's great. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about tip-up fishing, spring walleye fishing, Rainy River, Lake of the Woods here. And ice conditions are still good. And in fact, you just put out a snowmobile article. You know, I just put my snowmobile away for the summer, and I was kind of bummed because I didn't spend as much time on it as I'd wanted to. People could still trailer their sleds up north there and get in some good riding yet this year, Joe.
Most definitely. You know, I think a lot of people put their sleds away. You know, when you're down in central Minnesota, southern Minnesota, the metro, you know, you turn on the news, stay off the lakes, you know, you see the ponds starting to melt, you know, the snow's going away, you see brown everywhere. But you know what? Up north, it's still a winter wonderland. I mean, we're, you know, 5 hours north. And, you know, our snowmobile trails are still excellent. They're being groomed and they're still staked, of course. I mean, and we got hundreds of miles of trails, Brett, both on the south end of the lake through the forests, across the lake 42 miles up to the northwest angle. There's a lot of forest riding up there as well. You know, it's a situation where it gives you like a whole nother month of snowmobiling. And it's just excellent. And you're going to have the trails to yourself. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know that the snowmobiling is available like it is. And secondly, a lot of people just psychologically put their sleds away at the end of February. And, you know, it's cool because when you're up there, I mean, if a person wanted to stay at the resorts, great. You know, we still have resorts that have sleeper fish houses out. Some people that go snowmobiling will kind of do the ice camping where they stage their sleds where their sleeper fish house is and do kind of a combo of ice fishing and riding. And it's just a lot of options this time of year.
We're in bonus time, as I like to call it. When you can, you know, when you think something's over, yet you can still get some pretty good time, you know, say on the ice chasing walleyes or whatever. Go up and do some snowmobiling. In fact, you can read that article and see the Prairie Sportsman episode that we did on snowmobiling up at Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. And I also shared the link on the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page, so you can go check that out as well. And of course, here in no time, in a couple of weeks, people are going to be really focused on the Rainy River, Joe.
Exactly right. Well, you know, so, you know, our fish houses can be left on ice through March 31st because we're border water with Canada. And then our walleye season goes through April 14th and pike never close. So what happens is when that Rainy River will start to open up east of Bedette, kind of down by that Birchdale area and such, that's when it's game on for that spring fishing on the Rainy River everybody hears so much about. And, you know, we're watching the weather forecast. We're watching the open water. We got some open water, you know, through the middle of Manitou Rapids, which is kind of common for this time of year. But, you know, we're watching it close. We'll certainly keep an eye on it. And, you know, once it starts opening up, it's game on. I mean, it's a really fun time. You know, those walleyes, a good portion of them on that south shore will make their way up to the Rainy to spawn. And it's a great time. You get all these walleyes in a great big area of the lake, and they get constricted in this little river. And you want to talk about fun fishing, you know, jig fishing is the most common. Some people will pull crankbaits. It's a catch and release season only. But I'll tell you what, you get a chance to catch 50 walleyes a day, you got an opportunity to catch a 12-pounder. And it's also the first time, you know, of the year that a lot of people splash their boat. Really, as far as walleye fishing, it's one of the only games in town, and it's just kind of a tradition in the North Country.
We should mention, most people probably know this, of course, but that catch and release only in the spring is relatively new up there.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you, it used to be in the past, you could keep two walleyes under 19 and a half inches. What happened was the DNR really does a nice job of monitoring the fish populations in the river. And the way they do it in the river is they do it by electroshocking. And when they would electroshock the walleyes, they noticed that the number of mature male walleyes started dropping. It used to be 50-50 with male-female. Now the mature males got down to less than 20%. And, you know, naturally it kind of makes sense because everybody can keep a fish under 19 and a half, chances are that's a mature male walleye. So what the DNR said is, they said, all right, to give that section, which is a very important spawning section for our lake and our watershed, to give that area the very best chances of walleye reproduction, what we're going to do is we're going to make this a catch and release season to get those mature males back up. And most people really won't mind, because the majority of the people are going up there, like we said, to catch a monster, to catch multiple fish, yeah, and to splash their boat for the first time. And, you know, everybody would keep those fish under 19 and a half, but, you know, most people didn't go up to the Rainy in the spring to catch two fish under 19 and a half. So we're trying to do the ethical thing and be proactive about sustainability. And, you know, most people are great with it.
Yeah, you're seeing that more and more now. There's been some new regs in other border waters across the state. And I think you'll see walleye limits going down across the whole state eventually. Conservation is on a lot of people's minds right now, and sustainability is important. And I'm sure that's one thing you'll get asked about when you go to Sioux Falls this weekend, Joe.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly. And, you know, and people do ask too, hey, some people will ask, why do they even allow, you know, fishing of some of those spawning females in the Rainy River? And, you know, the DNR really takes, I mean, they really are, from my perspective, really sharp on keeping an eye on protecting that resource. And they said, here's the deal. You know what? The water's ice cold, which leads to low mortality. The water's shallow in that area where they catch them. And most everybody is jig fishing, which means you're not going to be deep hooking those fish. So they believe mortality is very low, and that's why they allow that tradition. You know, Sioux Falls is this week in that sports show. It's Thursday to Sunday, the Sioux Empire. And you know what? That's a fun show. You know, you always hear about people that are from that Iowa, Nebraska, southwest Minnesota, and of course South Dakota area, talking about coming up to the North Country in the summertime fishing. And you'd be surprised how many people actually will come up there and target the Rainy River too. There's a lot of really good walleye anglers in that region. Some of them will go up to the Missouri River, some of them will go up to Devils, some of them will come up to Lake of the Woods. And you know, we're certainly one of the destinations that they love to come to.
You're not doing seminars this year, Joe?
No, you know, they kind of mix them up and go every other year. And I gave seminars this year in Chicago and in St. Cloud, and I get a chance to take a break from seminars, but we certainly have, you know, the Lake of the Woods tourism booth where I'll be talking, you know, Lake of the Woods fishing, resorts, season, walleye patterns, muskies. I mean, you name it, we can talk about it. And, you know, Brett, I'll say this for the same reason I go to a sports show. Hey, the internet has so much awesome information, but there's nothing like going eyeball to eyeball, belly button to belly button, to be able to interact with somebody who kind of knows the area. And you can get a lot of good information that way.
Well, it is show season. I'll be at a couple of shows in the Twin Cities this weekend. I'm bringing a big jug of hand sanitizer, but I'm not too worried about it at this point. So good luck in Sioux Falls, of course, Joe. And thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio. If people want to find out more about Lake of the Woods and how to plan a trip up there, or to read the snowmobile article, where should they go?
Yeah, you know what? Check out the Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page. Otherwise, check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. Find us online at sportingjournalradio.com to listen to past shows, download the podcast, and more. And search for Sporting Journal Radio on Facebook and Instagram for outdoor videos, tips from the experts, and more. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.